Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, a mailbag episode of Locked On Steelers. I put out the call on Facebook, Twitter. I even got some emails, and a lot of you wrote in with questions. So we have a big mailbag coming today. A lot of questions ranging from the draft to free agency to some of the issues within the team about Antonio Brown and whatnot. We're going to talk about all of that today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter, at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. You can like the Facebook page, but I really encourage you to join the Facebook group. Very, very lively now. We've got a bunch of new members in the past couple weeks. And it's been a lot of fun talking to you guys in there. That's the Facebook group. Search Locked On Steelers. Make sure you join the Facebook group. You can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. All right, let's get to this mailbag. Thank you to everyone who wrote in with questions. We got a ton of questions. So thank you to everyone who participated in the Facebook group, on Twitter, via email. We got a ton of questions, and I'd really appreciate all of you who wrote in. If I don't get to everyone's questions, there's a lot. So I'm going to try and get to everyone. If I don't, I really apologize. We're going to do more of these throughout the offseason. You'll have more chances to ask your questions. Again, I apologize if I don't get to it today. But let's start with Patrick, who writes in, can we decide which we're going to choose, a free agent corner or defensive back or edge guy to help out Watt, or draft a defensive back or edge guy to help out Watt? And will we finally be running a 4-3 instead of a 3-4 base defense? It's too early to tell. The 4-3-3-4 stuff, I know Christopher Carter brought that up a couple weeks ago, and it's interesting. You know, he makes a good point, right? That the Steelers, you know, in firing Joey Porter, and could they just go with Keith Butler back as the outside linebacker coach and have him run double duty, because those outside linebackers will be, you know, essentially more down linemen than anything else. And you can have Orlovsky teach the rest. I guess that's an interesting point. We just don't know. There's not enough information to know that this team is going to move to a 4-3. Let's see what kind of players they bring in the draft and via free agency, and then you'll start to know, based on the personnel choices, okay, it seems like this team may be changing something fundamentally on defense. Like we saw a year ago when, you know, they signed Morgan Burnett, and then they drafted Terrell Edmonds, and then they drafted Marcus Allen, and all of a sudden it was like, hey, why do they have all these safeties? Is this team going to run more dime looks, more three safety looks? And that ended up being the case. As far as a free agent corner or edge guy or drafting that, if they're going to draft a corner, I think it's got to be early. You know, just based on the early projections so far, it seems like the top part of this corner class is very good. Greedy Williams, DeAndre Baker, Byron Murphy, you're going to hear those names a lot. But it falls off from there. So if they want a corner, they're likely going to have to take one early. And as I talked about on yesterday's podcast, you know, if they don't get Cody Sensabaugh back, Who is their presumed starter today? Artie Burns again? I think a lot of people are done with Artie Burns, and I think a lot of people within the organization are done with Artie Burns. And so they have to get a free agent corner, especially if they don't get Sensabaugh back, just as kind of a backstop there, because there is no corner in the draft that they can really count on. Yes, they pick at 20, but if it comes right down to it, you know, you've got, and you're left with a position where, let's say, it's DeAndre Baker and Devin White are on the board at 20, and you have to go with DeAndre Baker because you have no other option at corner. That's a crappy position to put yourself in as a franchise. So I think they have to go with a free agent corner. Now, as far as the edge rush position, I'm on board with all of you who want to address the edge rush position again and say, look, Bud Dupree, thanks a lot for your service, but we got to get another guy out there. The problem is Bud Dupree's got that $9 million hanging out there. I don't think they're going to cut him, because if you cut him, again, you leave that wide open hole that you absolutely must fill via the draft or free agency. I don't think the Steelers want to put themselves in that spot. So if they can't work out a deal with Bud Dupree to get that number down and they keep him at $9 million, you can't have Bud Dupree on $9 million and not start him, right? I mean, that's not how you manage a roster. And so if that's going to happen and Bud Dupree's coming back on $9 million, he will be the starter. And then I think they just fill out the roster like they've done in years past. Maybe bring Chickalo back or, you know, one veteran guy behind them. And then you've got Adini and Keon Adams as need be. I don't know that edge rush is going to be the need pick like a lot of fans want it to be. Harry writes in, what impact has the past concussions likely had on AB's erratic behavior? It seems like his impulse control has gotten much worse since the Vontaze Burfict hit. Nobody seems to be talking about it, but it seems obvious to me. Yeah, you know, the impact that concussions and blows to the head are having on players during their career is not something that is being talked about or even widely studied. And it's hard because, you know, a lot of these studies on brain injury are happening after these players are deceased. And so it's hard to tell with AB. Now, you know, you go back to a guy that was Chris Henry on the Bengals years back who died, you know, very young. And they studied his brain and found out that he had CTE during his play, bad CTE during his playing career. And they attributed some of his erratic behavior late in life to that CTE. And so I hope that's not true with Antonio Brown. I know he did have a bad concussion from Perfect a couple years ago. I hope that's not true for Antonio Brown because, you know, as we've seen with these players, the players who have CTE and, you know, the longer in life, the worse quality of life that they have. And so I really hope that that's not true for Antonio. I will say this, though, as far as the erratic behavior that we're seeing from AB, look, what we're seeing from AB is just a diva mentality, right? A diva mentality taken to another level. And it's not something we're used to in Pittsburgh, right? The wide receiver, you know, Hines Ward was our best receiver. When Santonio got a little diva-ish, the Steelers just shipped him off and we didn't have to deal with that anymore, right? So for Antonio Brown, you know, look, here's the deal with wide receiver. Wide receivers is one of the most interesting positions in all of sports because it is so important and so impactful on the game, having a guy like Antonio Brown. And yet, how many times does Antonio Brown see the ball per game? How many times does he have the ball in his hands per game? Five on an average day, 10 on a good day, 15 on a spectacular day. How many times does Ben Roethlisberger have the ball in his hand? Every single play, and he's throwing it on 20, 25, 30, 35. Last year it was 40 and 50 times a game. James Conner, how many times he have the ball in his hands? 15, 20, 25, 30 when you count the catches that he has in the passing game. Those guys get their opportunities. For AB, he's going to get 5 to 10 opportunities a game to make an impact with the talent that he has. And that's where that kind of me-first attitude comes from with wide receivers. That's why they feel like they're open on every play. That's why they get jealous of other receivers who are taking their touches away. And for Antonio Brown, who, not that he was not a decoy, but he was more of a decoy in 2018 than he's ever been in his career. That's probably where some of his frustration comes from. Now, I'm not trying to excuse it because he went and acted like a child at the end of the year, storming out of the facility or whatever happened there, but not showing up to practices, unacceptable. But I think that's more likely where that behavior comes from than the concussions. Although, again, as I said, it's, you know, the concussion thing, it has had an impact on these players earlier in their career. And I hope that that's not the case for AB. Joseph writes in, when is the right time to rebuild? When is the right time to rebuild? That's a good question. I would say the right time to rebuild for the Steelers is after Ben Roethlisberger retires. You go all in now on Ben, and you try to make this work and get as many Super Bowls, appearances, and wins as you can while Ben's still playing. And then once it's over for Ben, it's over for this run, right? I mean, this is a quarterback-driven league. Now, I mean, that's my answer. Now, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin would tell you something different. I think they would tell you there is no rebuild time. There is no time to rebuild. There is just retooling, and that's what they're trying to do. You know, that is what happened last year when they took Mason Rudolph in the third round and they took Chuck Okorafor in the third round. Those weren't win in 2018 picks. Those were win in 2020 and 2021 and kind of extend this run out type of picks. I think that's a mistake. I don't think that's how you build championship caliber teams in the modern era. And I'm going to do a podcast on this at some point throughout this offseason, because I've kind of changed my tune on this. I did a couple podcasts about this a year ago, about how the Steelers way and how that's, you know, the kind of conservative nature of the Steelers way and how that's done well for this team in the past and they should continue doing that in the future and all of that. I'm kind of changing my tune on that, especially looking at the way the NFL is constructed and the way rosters are constructed today. I think the way the Steelers are going about it, this kind of conservative nature of, you know, build some for today, but some for tomorrow, and don't sacrifice tomorrow for today, and that kind of thing. I don't know that that's the way to build a roster anymore. We'll talk about that later in the offseason, though. Christian writes in, just a question for you, Tony. Do you get any type of special media privileges or inside information with doing the podcast, or are you just kind of your average fan who got hired to do a podcast? The answer to that question is yes on both. So I started podcasting Steeler football 11 years ago, 2008. So 11 years ago now. Wow. Podcast called Steeler Country. It was me, Mike and Joe, have been on this podcast before. They'll be on this podcast again, actually, in a couple weeks here when we do our season awards. Don't miss that. Those are always fun. But yeah, we started doing a podcast. I mean, we were just talking Steelers all the time on the phone. And so podcasts were becoming a thing around 2008. And we thought, why don't we just turn this into a podcast? And that turned into 10 years of Steeler Country. And then I got hired to do Locked On in March of last year. So, you know, hooking up with Locked On, obviously, yes, that has given me media privileges. When I went to training camp in July and August, I was a credentialed member of the media. I got to talk to coaches, players, that kind of thing. So yes on both counts. Mike writes in, does Gerald Hawkins really have a chance to stick if the Steelers keep Marcus Gilbert, or has Filer made him irrelevant? Has Filer made him irrelevant? Interesting. I think Gerald Hawkins does have a chance to stick, even if they keep Gilbert. Does Gerald Hawkins stick? Well, let's take a look at the way the roster would be constructed then. So you would have, well, yeah, because Zach Banner was the 53rd player this year. I mean, Hawkins competes with Banner for that 53rd spot on the roster, right? Now, Filer can play a little guard, though. So Filer could actually, so let's say they keep Gilbert, but they don't keep Foster. Okay, so now you promote Finney to your starting left guard. Now who's going to be your Swiss Army knife in the middle? Do you have to bring in kind of a guard center type? You probably do, but I think Filer can play some guard. So you might play Filer a little bit at guard if you needed to, if DeCastro or Finney were to go down. And so in that way, Filer gives you some coverage on the inside. Okorafor is still going to be there on the outside. And then Hawkins kind of competes with Zach Banner as well. So yeah, I do think Hawkins has a chance. Now look, he's had some injury problems in the past. He was injured, I believe, his rookie year, and then he was injured again last year for the year. I did talk to him at training camp, though. He's got a great personality about it. I mean, he had a great attitude about it, I should say. You know, he was really upbeat, really, you know, look, he was going to training camp, yes, as an injured player, but trying to learn as much as he could, even in that, you know, even in that limited role of not being able to actually practice. Yeah, he had a great attitude about it. I like Gerald Hawkins. I wish him well. I hopefully he can come back from that and contribute. And hopefully Munchak did his work, even though Hawkins was injured for a couple years there. Daniel writes in, I think it's safe to say we're getting a new outside corner. Yeah, I hope so. But do you think the team decides to re-sign Sensabaugh or keep Burns as the backup? Or do they just get rid of both? Or even have both back and let them battle it out for a roster spot during training camp? Okay, so Artie Burns, I know a lot of people are saying Artie Burns is, you know, he ain't long for this team. You're right, and he's not long for this team. But I don't think they're not going to cut him during the offseason during the offseason here. There's no real reason for them to cut Artie Burns. He doesn't really save anything as far as the salary cap is concerned. And so they'll let him ride it out till training camp and give him one more spot or one more chance to make this team. You know, likely Artie Burns, if he's getting cut, he gets cut during that 53-man cutdown in late August. As far as re-signing Sensabaugh, yeah, as I said earlier, I think they have to re-sign Sensabaugh. You need a backstop at corner. Right? Look, right now, as the Steelers roster looks today, who are the Steelers cornerbacks today? Joe Hayden and Artie Burns are your starters today, right? You have Cam Sutton is in there. Cam Sutton's your starter. I mean, Brian Allen. I want to like Brian Allen, but he didn't show anything during training camp last year that made you believe he made real strides. Artie Burns, same thing. I mean, Artie Burns was he was a disaster last year. They have no one there at corner to take over today if they don't address the position. So first of all, they have to address the position outside of the players they already have. They have to upgrade that position. We all know that. But just in case they don't get the guy that they want, you got to backstop it with Sensabaugh and have him as kind of your, okay, well, we screwed that position up. Sensabaugh starts again in 2019. Michael writes in, should we hire Marvin Lewis to be our outside linebacker coach? I don't think I don't think Marvin Lewis wants to be a position coach. And I don't know that the Steelers are even going to hire an outside linebacker coach. You know, in that way, I don't know that there will be an outside linebacker coach in 2019. It might just be Keith Butler, as Christopher Carter was talking about a couple weeks back. And then for Marvin Lewis, I could see him being a defensive coordinator somewhere. I don't know that he'd take a position coach. But, you know, the guy was a head coach for so long. You got to imagine he's going to get a shot somewhere else at some point. You know, I mean, look, I know he wasn't a great coach with Cincinnati, but I mean, God, it was the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, think about, you know, he's dealing with one of the worst ownerships in football. And he took that team. I know he didn't win a playoff game, but he took Andy Dalton to the playoffs. You got to respect him for that a little bit. Now, I don't know if he knows Sean McVay, but that would really help him get another head coaching job. Yeah, I mean, that, and that's really where the, you know, I'm not saying he needs to know Sean McVay, but I think his age is really going to work against him there, because the it's so in vogue now to hire these young, super young coaches. You know, if you're, you know, just out of high school, they're ready to hire you to be the next coach of, you know, whatever team. So that's going to hurt Marvin Lewis more than anything. Joseph writes in, do you think the Steelers would take Byron Murphy since he's not the typical size cornerback they go for? Byron Murphy, what is Byron Murphy? Is he 5'11"? I don't think that's that bad. I know they want 6 foot guys. But I think what you really want, Byron Murphy listed at 5'11". Well, here's the thing. We don't actually know what Byron, he's listed at 5'11". Listed at 5'11", 175. Let's see what happens at the combine when he actually gets his real measurements. Because, you know, 5'11 on the Washington website means absolutely nothing when it comes to these guys' height and weight. As we saw this week at the Senior Bowl, where a lot of guys came in very differently than they were listed on their team's website. So, and I think as far as what the Steelers are looking for in defensive talent, I mean, size is definitely a factor. But I think what's also a factor is making sure that these guys are athletic freaks. That's really who the Steelers have gone for in years past. The Artie Burns, Terrell Edmonds, Sean Davis. I mean, these guys were all, you know, if you go to, there's a great site that not only will give you all of their scores as far as their three cone, their 40, all of their kind of athletic, the athletic drills. It'll give you all of those. It'll give you their size and everything, but it'll give it to you in comparison to other prospects at that same position. The website's called mockdraftable.com. You want to look for guys, once the combine hits and we start to get those numbers, you want to look for guys who have really big charts, right? That they are in the high percentiles in every one of their, every one of those drills, because that's who the Steelers typically go for with these defense challenges. And by the way, I hope that they stop doing that and start looking at actual film and whether or not these guys can play the sport of football before just going with the guy who looks best in a t-shirt and shorts. Mike writes in, four questions here. Ooh, four questions. One, how many draft picks do the Steelers have? One in each round, any compensatory? And if so, for who? No compensatory, no. I mean, the Steelers, unfortunately, they did not get a compensatory pick for losing Mike Mitchell. They cut Mike Mitchell, so they weren't going to get a compensatory for that. No compensatory for the Steelers. They have 7 picks. Now, not all of them are theirs. They have their own first-round pick. That's pick 20. Then they have second-round pick, pick 52. Third-round pick, pick 83. The compensatory picks are still coming in. They won't get a compensatory pick in all likelihood. They have their own 4th. They have Oakland's 6th. They have their own 6th. And then they have a 7th from Tampa Bay. The Oakland pick comes from the Switzer trade. Remember, they traded down essentially from the 5th to the 6th round with Oakland to get Ryan Switzer. So not a bad deal there. Ryan Switzer ended up being a pretty good asset for this team, both on offense and as a returner. Excuse me. And then they have the 7th round pick from Tampa Bay as part of the J.J. Wilcox trade. The reason they don't have their own 7th round pick is from the Sammy Coates trade, when they traded Sammy Coates to the Browns for a 6th round pick. So the Steelers do have 6 or 7 picks, but no compensatory, not all of them are their own. All right, next question. What are the upcoming key dates? Combine, AB's roster bonus, Le'Veon's transition tag, free agency. So the start of the league year, free agency, I think is March 13th or 14th. Let me just pull up. NFL.com actually has this. NFL key dates. NFL.com actually has this the best. Their important dates list. So the combine is like February 26th. Yeah, February 26th through March 4th. That's the combine. So that's when we'll start to get the actual height and weight numbers and the 40 times for all these college athletes. That's when you can start to get a sense for the types of players Steelers are going to be interested in. So that's the combine. The transition tag date is right after the combine, March 5th. So if the Steelers are going to transition tag Le'Veon Bell, it'll be on March 5th. What was the other one? AB's roster bonus. It's like right after the league year. I don't know the exact date. Someone wrote in and said like March 16th, like right after the start of the league year. The start of the league year is March 13th. So I think March 16th is his roster bonus day. If they're going to trade AB, it'll be like an Alex Smith type thing. Like, they'll announce that the trade is going to happen before the start of the league year, and then he'll just be traded on the 13th. And then free agency starts on the start of the league year. So free agency starts on the 13th. How did the Steelers offense and defense rank using that new system you talked about? Oh, the Football Outsiders DVOA. I didn't actually check after week 17. I guess I was too disgusted with the fact that this team didn't make the playoffs to actually check. That's a good question. Let's look. Okay, offensive DVOA rankings at the end of the year. The Steelers finished sixth in offensive DVOA, 13.8% better than your average offense in the league. But check this out. So they were 13.8%. That was sixth in the league. The number one team was Kansas City, of course. 34% DVOA, 34% number one. Number two was LA Rams, 24%. Incredible, incredible year for Kansas City. I mean, incredible year for offense all around. As we talked about, tier one, tier two type stuff, the Steelers were, you know, almost a third as good as the number one offense, and they were sixth in offense in the NFL. And then defensively, the Steelers ended up, they were right around league average, right? Yeah, 13th in the NFL. They were negative 0.9. So you want to be negative because it's the way defensive DVOA works is how much worse an offense is in their DVOA when facing your defense, I think is how it works. So they're negative 1% in DVOA, the 13th in the NFL, right around league average as far as their defense. The real problem for the Steelers defense in 2018 was, well, it's a couple things. One, no turnovers, obviously. But the turnover problem was the biggest thing. But also late games and how many games that they gave up, how many leads that they gave up late in games and their inability to get stops at the end of football games. I think the Patriots game, which was maybe the game of the year for the Steelers, was the lone game where they did get a stop at the end. Otherwise, the Steelers gave up leads late in many, many football games, far too many football games this year. And then Mike's last question, I like this one. Does Daniel McCullers have a purpose on this team? No, he does not. As I talked about yesterday, Daniel McCullers, if he were in the league 10 years ago, he could have been a starter 10 years ago, but in the modern NFL, no thank you. All right, I know we're going, what are we, 21 minutes? Well, we're more than 21 minutes in. All right, we're going to keep going. Maybe we'll do speed round here. Trevor, who is QB2 next year? Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph better be QB2 next year, or that's a disaster of a third round pick. You're talking about a guy who Kevin Colbert came out talking about how, well, we had him ranked so high. We had him ranked up there with the other quarterbacks. And this guy can't beat out Josh Dobbs for the backup spot. I'm sorry, because look, we were all excited that Josh Dobbs beat out Landry Jones. And finally, this team was rid of Landry Jones. And then Josh Dobbs comes in against Oakland and is trash. I mean, Dobbs was bad in that football game. If Mason Rudolph, who's supposed to be the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger, can't beat out Josh Dobbs in next year's training camp, I mean, it's a disaster of a third-round pick for the Steelers. They traded Martavis Bryant to get Mason Rudolph. I mean, that's a wash of a trade if this guy can't beat out Dobbs. In fact, Mason Rudolph is my most, when I think about training camp next year and the players I'm most excited to watch, I think Mason Rudolph's number one. I want to see how much better he is year over year. Nestor writes in, top three draft picks for the Steelers. Boy, it's too early for me. Too early to ask me this question. First round, Devin White, all day. Although Mac Wilson right there, I'm a believer in both. I know you kind of got to pick a side on that. I've noticed the Mac Wilson guys don't like the Devin White guys, and the Devin White guys don't like the Mac Wilson guys. I'm on both. I'm happy with both. But I think Devin White, I've had a crush on Devin White for a year now, so I'm going to stick with Devin White in the first round. Second round, boy, I hope one of those corners slips. I don't think they will. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're not going to get that, you know, I think hopefully you'll get an edge rusher in the second round, potentially a safety there as well. I do think the safety is still a need for this team, even after drafting Terrell Edmonds and Marcus Allen a year ago. Third round, I wouldn't mind the Steelers going offense in the third round. I could see the wide receiver being taken in the third round. Now, if they trade Antonio Brown, the wide receiver will get taken earlier than that. But as I said, I think there's still a need for a wide receiver, and I wouldn't mind. With a deep wide receiver class, I wouldn't mind a wide receiver being taken in the third round. If you want a position I think that could the Steelers could shock the world with, especially in the first round, would not shock me if the Steelers went tight end in the first round, especially if they lose Jesse James. You know, Vance McDonald is nice. We're all fans of Vance McDonald, but the Steelers are going with two tight end sets more often than not. And so, or multiple tight end sets, even three tight end sets at times as well. And there are a lot of good tight ends at the top of this draft. And at 20, the Steelers will probably have a chance at one of those guys. So could the Steelers go tight end in round one? Yes. And I know you're all, freaking out right now. I mean, saying this, but let's not forget, we're all in on rebuilding this defense. This is still an offense driven league. And if the Steelers trade away Antonio Brown, they have to replace this offense first. Right, that becomes the biggest need. The teams with great defenses in the NFL in 2019, what did or 2018, what did that get them? You want to be the Dallas Cowboys? Do you want to be the Chicago Bears? Do you want to be the Baltimore Ravens? I don't. Those teams are going nowhere fast. You got to have a great offense first. The defense, you know, not to say it's not like it's worthless. You definitely need a defense, but you need an offense first. And if this offense loses Antonio Brown, that's the number one thing that's got to be rebuilt in 2019 is the offense, not the defense. Sad Steelers writes in, have you looked at the Memphis running back? 8.9 yards per carry, 22 touchdowns. He's not very big, but he can't sustain a big role. But paired with Connor and Samuels, it'd be a scary sight. Yeah, you're talking about Daryl Henderson, right? I have watched him. I haven't watched his tape yet. I did see the couple times he played against UCF. He's good. He's real, real good. Yeah, he could be a Tariq Cohen type. Like you said, I don't think he's very big, but he's a very splashy player. I would not be sad if the Steelers got him late as a late pick. Andrew writes in, best kicker or punter in this draft? That's funny. I don't know. I don't know that the Steelers are going to take a kicker, though, in this draft. Don't draft a kicker. Drafting a punter, even. I mean, both of those positions you're going to have. Wait, did I not do special teams yesterday? I was supposed to do defense and special teams yesterday. I think I only did defense. Well, okay, so let's go over defense real quick. Jordan Berry's a free agent, everybody. Jordan Berry is an unrestricted free agent going into next year. So do they bring him back? Tomlin called him out at one point. Now that was earlier in the year. Do they bring Jordan Berry back? If they do, they definitely bring competition. Kicker and punter are going to have competition. I don't know that you actually draft either one, though. And if you do, it's very, very late. I don't know. You definitely don't draft a kicker, right? Because the hope is that Boswell figures it out and then he goes back to being Boswell. Because otherwise, you got to cut him. You got dead money at a kicker. I mean, it's so stupid. So hopefully Boswell works it out. And then punter, yeah, you bring in competition there and find a punter who can be more consistent. OSO writes in, how real is the chance to bring back Bell and Brown next season? Both? No, zero. 0% chance they bring back both. Now, one or the other, well, obviously, AB is easier. You know, just work it out. And we talked about this yesterday. You know, if Pouncey and Juju and on the players on the team are welcoming to have AB back, that's a big first step. Now, AB's got to want to come back, and that's the biggest thing here. Is AB gonna reach out to the Steelers and try to work this out? Because if not, he's getting traded, right? But if the player, you know, the biggest thing to me is how does he work this out with the players? He abandoned his team at the 11th hour in a playoff game late in the year. It was essentially a playoff game. How do the players accept him back in that locker room? But listening to what some of these guys, some of the leaders at this on this team, Cam Hayward, I think, spoke on this again as well and was, you know, said some nice things about AB and about bringing him back. If the players are on board, that's a big first step. That's a big first step. So AB is the easiest one to bring back. Now, as far as Le'Veon, look, the Le'Veon situation, the way you bring him back, it's a very specific way that the Steelers would bring back Le'Veon Bell. It would have to be a situation where they're going to lose AB. They know they're losing AB. AB's not answering the phone calls. They got to trade him. So now you have this big hole on the offense as far as the playmaker that you need to fill. How are we running our offense? Who are we running our offense through in 2019? And it's a stick with what you know scenario. The Steelers and Le'Veon Bell weren't that far off as far as the total dollar amount. They were off on the guaranteed money. The Steelers have a ton of money to give away. They have $27 million in available cap space or whatever that number is going to end up being when the official number comes out. $20 plus million. They can afford to give Le'Veon the deal that he wants. Now, the question is, will they? And I think it's a bit of a panic move if they do this. But if you lose AB and you feel like, boy, we got to get a playmaker here, you know, just stick with what you know scenario. You work it out with Le'Veon. You bring him back. Still unlikely, but yeah, I think it's a possibility. You know, the chance that happens and they bring AB back, zero. I think there's no way you bring back both. All right, then last question. OSO also writes in, would the Steelers be more aggressive in the draft and free agency? And I know I've been talking about this and saying, you know, this feels like the year that it's going to happen. I don't think it actually is going to happen, though. Especially in the draft. The Steelers are not going to be aggressive in the draft. And we're going to get to that time where, you know, it's pick 15, it's pick 16, and Devin White's still available, but Mac Wilson got taken and everyone's freaking out. The Steelers got to trade up. You know, unless the Steelers are going to trade like next year, one of next year's picks, I don't think the Steelers are going to be willing to give away a pick in this year's draft. They don't have enough draft capital. As I went over with the question Mike asked earlier, about, you know, what? How many picks do they have? They only have seven picks. And they value those picks. I mean, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin have always valued those picks. And so if we're talking about giving up a third round pick in this year's draft to move up five or six spots, I don't think the Steelers are going to be willing to do that because they don't have another pick behind that, right? They're not coming in here with extra draft capital. Now, if they realize that, okay, we're going to get that third round pick for Le'Veon a year from now, so we can trade our third round pick because we're still going to have one, that is more likely to me. But that's the only way I see this team being aggressive in the draft. In free agency, they just never... Okay, what is being aggressive? So the big free agents the Steelers have brought in years past are Ladarius Green and Mike Mitchell and Morgan Burnett and John Bostic, right? I mean, these are and Joe Hayden. And Joe Hayden is kind of the exception because he's the real big money free agent, the $9, $10 million a year free agent that the Steelers almost never bring in. And that was an 11th hour. Training camp has already started. This team's going, you know, putting all its chips in the middle and saying we're going all in this year. That's the same year that they traded for Vance McDonald and traded for J.J. Wilcox. I give them credit that year. They really did try to go all in back in 2017. But that's the exception to what this team normally does. So I know we want this team to be aggressive in free agency, and they have the opportunity to be aggressive in free agency. But is this team going to break the mold? You know, a team that drafted in their third round last year drafted a quarterback and a tackle. You're going to tell me that after losing Le'Veon Bell and then potentially losing Antonio Brown, that team's going to be more aggressive in that offseason? Or are they just going to continue to prepare for the future and continue their ways of you know, slow and steady wins the race type of deal, especially when it comes to free agency? I think that's more likely for this team, even with the $27 million. I hope I'm wrong. There's going to be some players available too. I know a lot of these guys are going to get franchised, but when you look at the available free agents, let's just look at the potential available edge rushers. Dee Ford, DeMarcus Lawrence, Jadeveon Clowney. Right? I mean, there's going to be some big names. I mean, some of those guys are going to get franchised. Maybe all three of those guys get franchised. But there could be some guys out there that the Steelers could spend some money on. I just don't think that they will. All right, that is it. I got to everything. And this podcast is very long. I apologize for that. But I did get to all your questions. So thank you again to everyone who wrote in for the mailbag. We'll do this again throughout the offseason. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry. And I'll be back on Monday for more Locked On Steelers.